therapy. Perfect timing.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Ronnie Marshall back in the game, does a nice job picking up the blitz. Sanders throws, touchdown, Davis again. Two touchdown drives, both going to Caden Davis, and the Browns have their first lead of the preseason.
Okay. Two pretty good touchdown throws by Shedeur Sanders. Welcome on in, folks. Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We are live in the City Place Studios, downtown West Palm Beach, a dreary and rainy downtown West Palm Beach today. I was up way too late last night watching every snap of my hometown team's football game. And Dame, it was a tough one getting up this morning. I gotta say, it was tough with that 6:30 a.m. alarm this morning.
Tough,
I can't lie.
Tough,
it was
one,
really tough.
Long week in general, and then we woke up today. It was a rainy day.
Usually, oh my God,
you just want to stay in bed, nice and cozy for those kind of days. But nonetheless, great game last night, and we got a great event today. So it's honestly a great Saturday.
We got so folks, for those of you that don't know, ESPN 106.3, we do this amazing event. It's called Top 63, where we honor the 63 best seniors that are playing high school football, and we've recently added flag football over the last 2 years too. So we're going to have we're going to have the best flag and football players over at Kaiser University coming up tonight to honor them and celebrate them and rank them 63 all the way to number one. Been doing this for, I don't want to get this wrong, so I'm not going to say how many years we've been doing it for. I probably should know, but forgive me, I've been here 1 year, but been doing this, you know, for a very, very long time, at least over a decade. Lamar Jackson was in the top 63, to put things in perspective. So this is something the station's been doing for a while, and I feel very privileged to be a part of it coming up tonight. But I'll tell you what, you want to know who would have been in the top 63 if you grew up here in West Palm Beach? It's Shedeur Sanders. Dame, got to be honest, I thought he had a good game. But he looked like a rookie, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think Shedeur had a good game. He looked like a rookie. He missed throws. But I think what people should be taking away from this about Shedeur Sanders is that he's a gamer, and I think that he can do this. Like, I walked away from this game thinking that Shedeur Sanders could be a starting quarterback in the NFL at some point. I really did. And my biggest fear as a Cleveland Brown diehard fan my whole life growing up in Northeast Ohio, I feel like this was going to be like his only opportunity to be able to do anything with the team, because he's going to be buried in the depth chart once Joe Flacco is able, like I say, able to play. Flacco didn't play in the game because he's a 15-year veteran and doesn't need to play in the preseason. Okay. Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett didn't play because of a hamstring. Like, once those guys come back, I fear he will be fourth on the depth chart again. And Shedeur actually talked after game, and I got a couple of clips of Shedeur Sanders, but this one kind of refers to what I'm talking about. Shedeur basically talked about how he didn't think he took advantage of the opportunity, because Aditi from NFL Network interviewed him after the game, and she basically said, "Hey, Pops is watching at home. He's going crazy on social media." And Shedeur basically explained and apologized to his dad that he didn't take advantage of the opportunity.
Sorry, Pops. I ain't do what I was supposed to do fully, but you know, we'll live to see another opportunity.
So, and he even started off the interview by saying he didn't think he played a very good game. He actually ranked himself at a C+. I'd probably put him at a B. I think he's being a little hard on himself. But if anything, Dame, I think that this has shown that Shedeur's come a long way now. Him entering with his, they called it an entourage, by the way, on social media and whatnot. I'll call it his friends. Him walking in with his friends in a boombox, I don't have an issue with it, because that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's who Shedeur Sanders is. So, like, I don't have an issue with it. A lot of people had an issue with it. You want to know what I actually liked about it? One of his friends had a Gandalf staff. Mm-hmm. I want the staff. I am a nerd here. Okay, everything under the sun, anime, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. I am an absolute nerd. I want that staff. If someone knows where they could find that Gandalf staff that one of Shador's buddies had, send me it. Feel free to send me the link on Instagram or Twitter at MikeRizzo22, because I thought that was the coolest thing ever. But people were all over the young man on social media last night on his performance, on him walking in with his friends. I think it's kind of ridiculous. We know who Shador Sanders is at this point, and I don't think you could. And first off, I thought he played well enough. I really did. I told you. What I saw from Shador last night, he looked like a rookie, but he looked like he had that stuff that can make him a starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I have no problem with his entrance. I don't see an issue with someone being a bit authentic and being themselves. And at the end of the day, you know, football is a sport that's meant to have fun, and I think Shador was doing just that. I mean, he had a blast last night, and you can tell. He absolutely looked like a rookie, but what I will say is I agree with you. I think he's a rookie that can ultimately become a starter, and he's a rookie that had the guts to make tough throws. Usually people are cautious making the safe play, but he was out there putting it on the line.
And Dame, let's take a listen again to one of those touchdowns. This was the second touchdown that Shador Sanders threw in the game. He threw both of his touchdowns. I want to make sure I get this right. Caden Davis, by the way, Caden Davis is an undrafted wide receiver. Him and Shador had a connection last night on two receiving touchdowns. Let's take a listen to the second one.
Ronnie Marshall back in the game, does a nice job picking up the blitz. Sanders throws, touchdown, Davis again. Two touchdown drives, both going to Caden Davis, and the Browns have their first lead of the preseason.
Okay. And Dame, to your point, pretty tight window throws. Defenders around, defenders in the vicinity.
Those throws had to be perfect.
Rookie quarterbacks usually don't want to make the wrong decision. They don't want to make those throws. So I think that it was a pretty decent decision by Shador, really good decision, rather, by Shador to put that on the line. Now, he was sacked two times in the game, but a QBR of 106. Do you want to know who looked really sharp in the game? On a side note,
who's that?
It was Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I was very impressed what Bryce Young was able to do in the game. The first drive was a nightmare. He actually got sacked. The Browns defense, so Shador went three and out, and then Bryce Young went three and out after a sack by the Browns defense on third and two. But Bryce Young was in for one more series, managed to go 4 of 6 on that series. How about, did you see the drop touchdown by Tet McMillan for Arizona? So Tet McMillan is the first round pick. For those of you that don't know, Tet McMillan is the Carolina Panthers first round pick. A stud wide receiver. And listen, this isn't me saying Tet's going to be a bum, okay? So, but Tet had a rookie moment where he had a great move on one of the Browns corners. I think it was Denzel Ward, actually, an all-pro corner. And Tet was open for a split second, and Bryce Young threw it on the money. Kid wasn't ready for the ball. Hit him in the hands, and he dropped it.
Yeah, that was a bad drop, but he did have a great over-the-shoulder catch right along the line where Bryce Young kind of put it over the top. I think it was a one-handed catch.
Yeah, it was like I said, this isn't me. I'm not getting on him for it. It was just one of those rookie moments where it's like, all right, welcome to the league.
This is why we have preseason ultimately. You know,
exactly.
To get these guys to get their first taste of NFL snaps, this is what it's for.
But yeah, this is a big year for Bryce Young. This is a big year for Dave Canales and Colin Russo, who I do the show with, Russo and Rizzo, folks, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. I think Colin's going to take the over win total for the Panthers. I'm not that sold on Carolina, but who knows? Maybe Bryce Young could turn into something.
If I had to guess, what is it, 8.5?
My best guess is that Bryce Young isn't the quarterback in 2 years in Carolina, but I got to give the kid his flowers, mate. He looked really good yesterday. He looked good yesterday against what I think is probably going to be a pretty good Cleveland Brown defense next year against a bunch of starters and number twos in the game last night. But the story of the day right now, folks, Shador Sanders, two touchdowns, 14 to 23, 138 yards, Browns winning. Preseason game number one, 30-10. I mentioned Bryce Young. I mentioned Tet McMillan on the other side for Carolina. There are a lot of other games that happened yesterday, too. Two other games in total. And the story outside of Shador was the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. So how about Mike Vrabel? Dame, you've been, you know, my producer on the shows all week. If I'm filling in for Theo on our show, Russo and Rizzo, with CCAP being out, you've heard me talk about Vrabel and wax poetically. I mean what I say when I wish Mike Vrabel was my football coach. And I love Stefanski. You know, I understand you're not going to fire Stefanski just to hire somebody when Kevin's done a pretty decent job with what you got. But Vrabel is one of those guys where if you have an opening, he's probably one of the first names you think of. I think there's a reason that New England decided to get rid of their Jerod Mayo, their first-year head coach, after 1 year, once they found out Mike Vrabel was going to be available, because the Patriots practiced with the Commanders for a full week. Patriots practiced with the Commanders for five, 6 days. They won by 30 points in a preseason game. I understand it's just preseason. Jaden Daniels didn't play. My God. Josh Johnson played for the Washington Commanders. Sam Hartman played for the Washington Commanders. I understand all that. But to win by 30 points, I don't care what level of football you're playing, man. They wanted it more. And I told you. So we had Jonathan Zaslow on Theoretically Speaking yesterday. And I was filling in for Theo. Damien was filling in for C-Cat. I laughed so hard when he goes, I'm not going to be watching every single snap of a Cleveland Brown preseason game. I'm not some kind of loser. Dude, I was a loser in my apartment last night. I was dual screening Patriots and Washington and the Browns and Carolina. I was while playing mindlessly playing Pokemon on my Nintendo Switch last night.
I don't see anything wrong with that, Mike. We've been so long without football. It's Dude. Just whenever we get a taste, even if it's just preseason, just to get a snap and see these guys compete, I'm right there with you, Mike.
So I almost cried last night. Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
First touchdown? First play of the game.
I know where you're headed.
For the New England Patriots. A guy who I watched for 5 years in Columbus, who have come to love. I'm going to sick to my stomach that he's not in the running back room for the Buckeyes this year. Trevion Henderson, a kid who, how about this, Dame? Trevion Henderson started a Bible study group at Ohio State to the point where they would go and speak to students on campus. Will Howard recently talked about this on a podcast. Will Howard joined some, I apologize to the podcast. He joined a podcast and talked about how Will Howard and two other Buckeyes started like this, I think God is Great Club or whatever, and they basically went out in front of like 200, 250 students and started preaching the New Testament.
Wow, that's so unbelievable.
Like, Trevion Henderson is that guy. Like, and he had a 100-yard kick return for a touch. His first touch in the NFL, he returned it for 100 yards.
And it's not just that. I mean, everything I've been hearing from training camp is that this guy is just an absolute gadget, dominant both on the ground as well as catching.
So the reason I almost cried, number one, because it's like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I am that guy who roots for my college players in the NFL. But Damien, the Browns didn't take a running back in the second round, did they?
I think they did.
I can't remember. They didn't take a running back in the second round.
I think they did. And
who'd they take?
Right alongside Trevion Henderson.
Oh, yeah. He had three touchdowns in the national championship game. Oh, yeah. Hang on. Now I remember. It was Quinshon Judkins. He had a good game last night, didn't he?
Did he Quinshon? Even play? I don't think. He probably watched the game.
No, that's right. He's dealing with a domestic violence case because he is allegedly got in a fight with his girlfriend. I mean, Damien, I texted my buddies immediately. This was before I knew that, you know, we knew what Quinshon did in Fort Lauderdale. I said, guys, like the pick, but feel like we took the wrong Buckeye running back. And sure enough, Trevion Henderson's first touch in a uniform is a 100-yard kick return. Not a punt return, folks. A kick return. I feel like a kick return is harder than a punt return.
Absolutely.
So there's that. He had three catches. To Damian's point, he had three catches in the game. They only ran him one time. Ramondre Stevenson got the bulk of the carries for the New England Patriots in the game. Mike Vrabel ran the ball 31 times for 153 yards. It's 5 yards a carry. Vrabel in that offense was getting 5 yards a carry on the ground, reminiscent to Derrick Henry and those Tennessee Titan teams. But, I think the Patriots are one. Of course, the Patriots, you know, they struggle a little bit with Bill Belichick. Maybe I'm putting the cart in front of the horse, as they say. But, of course, the Patriots struggle with Belichick and Jerod Mayo for 1 year, Belichick for the final 3 years, and then they go out and get Mike Vrabel, and they're going to probably compete for the playoffs this year, right?
Yeah, and Vrabel, the thing about Vrabel is he's so good at creating a culture, and that's, you can just see it with these Patriots. It's just electric. Even for a preseason game, they were out there playing like it was week one.
Drake May played for a series, went 3 of 5, 12 yards passing, took a sack. But the story of the game, the defense dominating for Vrabel. 3 points.
That's his bread and butter, too.
Dame, 3 points the Washington Commanders were held to in that first half, 27-3 this one was at halftime, when, you know, you could say in the first half, usually the bulk of the players, second stringers and first stringers,
right,
before the practice squad guys and the third stringers and the fourth stringers start getting into the game. But those were really the big storylines out of preseason. 888-760-3776, that number to call on in. If you want to talk a little bit about Shedeur Sanders and his game, the Patriots walloping the Commanders 48-18. You got the Lions beating the Falcons 17-10. I can't say, Damian, I watched a second of that preseason game, but it looked like Kyle Allen picked up from that Hall of Fame game. By the way, did I tell you I was at that Hall of Fame game?
Oh, yeah?
When I was home, yeah. So Canton, Ohio is roughly about 48 minutes from Cleveland. So I my uncle had tickets. We went to the game. It was, you know, we left.
It wasn't the best game. I feel like the Chargers absolutely dominated that game.
We left by halftime. I mean, we saw Trey Lance and Kyle Allen. My uncle and I both started laughing. But Kyle Allen, how about this?
7 for 8.
2 touchdowns, 120. Not bad. 2 touchdowns. You know, you think he's going to be competing with Goff?
And also,
it was a joke, folks. It was a joke.
Hendon Hooker also got a few snaps from Tennessee. He actually did pretty well, too. 7 for 10. 38 yards, but that completion percentage looked good.
How about that? Hendon Hooker, that seems like a lifetime ago when he played at Tennessee. The freshman, played for Tennessee last year. Now he is going to be suiting up for UCLA and Deshaun Foster coming up next season. Let's take a timeout, because when we come back, we'll take a look at the rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, with Shedeur Sanders getting snaps, with a couple of these other guys getting snaps in the preseason. We'll take a look at the rookie quarterbacks that were drafted in 2025. We'll put together a parlay with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. We'll do some preseason action. We'll do some MLB. We're almost there to college football. We might even preview a little bit of college football. We got the AP Top 25 coming out here really, really soon. I think if we could take one thing for face value from the coaches poll, I even think the AP is going to put your top two teams as Texas and Ohio State. I think they want to play into the quote-unquote 1-2 matchup coming up in week one. I think Penn State probably should be the number one team in the country. But like, I really do think they're trying to get the first ever 1-2 matchup in a week one game. So rookie quarterback conversations, NFL conversations, college football conversations still to come, and some parlay of the weekends with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet right here on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, download that Hard Rock Bet app today and get involved on the action. It is the absolute, and shout out to Shedeur Sanders, perfect time to download the Hard Rock Bet app. You got football season right around the corner. We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of college football season. We are 26 days away from the start of the NFL season. September 4th, folks. September 4th is the first NFL game. You got the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles doing battle coming up. Get your futures bets locked in, too. If you listen to Russo and Rizzo with myself and Colin Russo, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Friday, Colin and I love taking all the futures bets. Go do that now with our great friends at Hard Rock Bet. I took the over on my Cleveland Browns. So the over-under win total is 4.5. I thought that was criminally low. 5 wins easily for the Browns this year. Maybe not more than that. But if you got a gut feeling, if you got a gut feeling on your team this year, if you think you got a good win total for your team or an NFL team this year, go take that gut feeling to Hard Rock Bet and put some cash on it. Might as well win some cash on these games. You're going to be watching them anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little cash on all the games with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Not to mention the MLB season, folks, is really gearing up. You know I'm a huge baseball snob, my Cleveland Guardians. I love watching the Marlins, too. They're really a fun team right now with Kyle Stowers. I mean, like I said earlier, you're watching the games anyway. Sprinkle some cash on it. That is with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. If you got a problem with gambling, folks, 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Damien, when you go back and look at this rookie class of quarterbacks, I really think you're going to be looking at one or two guys. I think you're going to be looking at one guy specifically, and that's the number one overall pick in Cam Ward. Cam Ward, I mean, I love what Shador is saying. I think Shador is great with the media. I think Shador is great kind of hey, this is who I am, and I want you guys to embrace it. I think that's very authentic by the young man. I understand that he got a couple of traffic violations in Cleveland, but he's not getting drunk, you know what I mean, Damien? He's not getting caught with drugs or anything, you know what I mean? Like, I put myself in, like, Dame, when I was 22, I was a booze hound. I am very admittedly, openly a binge drinking alcoholic. I've been sober for 4 years. Damien, me at 22 was a nightmare. So, like, if the worst thing Shador Sanders is going to do is show up with his friends and that's it, like, you'll take that 10 times out of 10.
Oh, absolutely. And everything we've seen from Shador is that he's got great character. You know, he may be flashy, he may be overly confident at times, but as far as character and what he would bring to an organization, I mean, he's Deion Sanders' son. He knows that professional side of things. And, you know, he has a little bit of fun, but at the end of the day, you know you can trust him with your organization.
And like I said, outside of a couple of traffic tickets, that's really it. And, you know, he's not partying. He's not, you know, I hate to keep throwing my guy Quinshon Judkins under, you know, but like no domestic violence charges or anything like that. And Cam Ward, I feel like, is really an outstanding citizen as well.
Yeah.
Did you already said about his father and his job? So Cam Ward basically said in so many words, his dad woke up at 4:30 in the morning every single day to go to a job that he hated to provide for his family. And Cam Ward said, if I can't wake up at 4:30 in the morning and go to a job that I absolutely love and get paid handsomely, then there's an issue. That is, I mean, is that not everything you want to hear? That's a guy if I'm a teammate of Cam Ward's, that's a guy I'm ready to run through the wall for.
Yeah.
That's my starting quarterback, and I am proud that my starting quarterback is getting the facility at 5 a.m, studying tape, studying film, and working on his craft. That I really think, Dame, with this draft class and Cam Ward, Jackson Dark, Tyler Shuck, Shador Sanders, I really think the two guys I think you'll be looking at, and this is what I wasn't a Jackson Dart guy at Mississippi when he was at Ole Miss. I love Lane Kiffin. I am a huge Lane Kiffin fan. I think Lane is amazing for college football. Did great things down here at FAU as well. But I know Lane would hate me for saying this, but I'm not a Jackson Dart guy. I don't think he's going to be much of anything in the NFL. I think the two guys are Cam Ward and Shador Sanders.
Yeah, and everything we've seen from Cam Ward as far as just how he carries himself or with the media has been absolutely 100% only football. The man just breathes, sleeps, and eats football. He says his phone's always on do not disturb. He only talks to about 4 people in a week. This man is 100% focused. And another thing that's going great for him is he's flying completely under the radar. I know he's the number one pick, but we don't talk about from the media perspective about how he is that number one pick. I don't think there's enough hype on Cam Ward, and I think that works 100% in his favor coming up to this season.
It's Jaden Daniels-esque. Yeah. Remember last year, the hype with Nobody Caleb Williams. Coming. This year it's the hype with Shador, but I feel like it's a little different than Caleb, right? Caleb was, this kid better be good. He's the no doubt number one pick. Shador has been kind of the story you want to root for, right?
He's the underdog.
Let's go back to what the voice of the 305, Jonathan Zaslow, said. It went from you kind of didn't like him at Colorado to now it's like, oh my God, drafted in the 5th round. You kind of feel bad for him and you want to get behind him. But I think Cam Ward is reminiscent of Jaden Daniels because he's not the rookie quarterback everyone's talking about. And I think he could go under the radar, have a great season, and, you know, we'll see where the Tennessee Titans are when the season wraps up. Now, I want to go look with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet where the Titans are on their over-under win total. Damien, if I had to guess, I would probably put it anywhere in the realm of 6.5 to 7 games. When you got a quarterback, when you get the franchise changing player.
Oh, I would go over on those numbers.
I think expectations start to get set. When you figure out the quarterback position, and listen, maybe they haven't. Maybe I'm putting the cart. I know this is like the 5th time I've mentioned this reference, but maybe I'm putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit, saying that Cam Ward is going to be a franchise quarterback. But when you figure that position out, it seems like expectations start to get there. Dame, are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
5.5.
Wow.
The Titans are over-under is 5.5, minus 175 for the over. So obviously, if you bet the over, you're not winning, you know, that handsomely of a reward.
But see, that's what I'm talking
plus,
about.
Dame, plus 140 for the under.
I just feel like we know, we know Cam Ward is going to be a great player. We've seen it in college time and time again. But I don't feel that there's that hype, that anticipation leading into this season. I mean, 5.5 for a first-round pick, who would have thought?
Pretty crazy. And I maybe the Titans, like, defensively still have work to do. I'm not, like, keen in on the Titans where I could list you their entire offensive line and D-line like that. Maybe there is work to do there. But I think the Titans are going to win more than five games. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the NFL. I think the worst team in the NFL coming up next year is probably going to be, I hate to say it because we got a lot of Jet fans in the area, a lot of Jet transplant fans. I think it's going to be the Jets. I think it's going to be anywhere from the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns.
I would put the Giants there based on their schedule.
I think the Giants win 6-7 games.
That's a tough schedule,
but though. Those are a coach and a GM coaching for their jobs. And I think defensively, dude, that Giants defense is pretty good, dude.
Yeah. Right? That's a very good point. The defense is unbelievable.
Russell Wilson, what did we learn about Russell Wilson last year? He's going to dink and dunk. He's not going to turn the ball over a lot. I just don't think the Giants are going to be in the realm of 4-5 wins. I think the teams are going to be in the realm of 4-5 wins are the Jets and the Browns. Now, do you want to know a team who's making a case for that in training camp at least?
Who's that?
The Miami Dolphins.
I knew it.
They might be that bad. It might be the Patriots and the Bills in that division next year. Dude, and that's, you know, arguably something we could have led the show with today. Being here in South Florida, I thought the Shador stuff was more apropos. But the Miami Dolphins fighting each other in a joint practice.
Yeah.
How does that happen? I go back. We talked about this on Russo and Rizzo for about an hour yesterday. And the question I kept asking Colin, Damien, I've covered NFL teams. I've been to training camp. I've been to these joint practices, okay? How do you fight your own team in a joint practice? That's like unheard of. Like, you do, Damien, and this is from me even playing high school football. Like, you would do the joint practice in high school, and what would you be telling your friends? I can't wait to hit somebody that's not my own teammate.
That's what you're looking for.
I can't wait to hit the opposition. You know, I played tight end and defensive end. I always said I couldn't wait to, you know, if I'm on the offensive line, if I'm blocking as a tight end, I can't wait to hit somebody I can't wait to hit somebody. Nope. Apparently, the Dolphins couldn't wait to fight each other.
And what's worse about that fight is that it was Jordan Brooks, a linebacker, who's supposed to be the leader of that defense. You know, I don't know if he was just trying to set somebody straight, but, you know, like you said, it started off bad with the Dolphins in training camp, and it just keeps getting worse.
Now, Mike McDaniel, let's give him some credit. Mike McDaniel broke up the fight. I've been on McDaniel.
That would have been a scene.
I've been on McDaniel because I don't think he has any control of the locker room. And I think situations like this, I think it proves it, Damian Perez. I do. I think it proves that McDaniel, if one of your captains, what did you call him, leader of the team?
The defense, at least.
If one of the leaders of your team on defense is going at a teammate, it's not good. That's a coach who doesn't have control of a situation. But I do give him credit for getting in the middle of it. I do. I do give him credit for trying to get in to the point where Minka Fitzpatrick joked around about it after practice. He said, I quote, "I think that's very dangerous. We need our head coach." You know what I'm saying?
And McDaniels, I mean, he's a smaller guy. You know, he's not really built to
Miami,
like,
Mike,
breaking
dude.
Up fights.
Miami Mike. And I got to say, guys, this is I'm not personally attacking Mike McDaniel. I mentioned already, 4 years sober, don't drink, very proud of it. But a guy you'd like to go out and have a drink with is Mike McDaniel. Yeah. You have a great time with him.
Sober himself.
Is he? Okay. Mm-hmm. We could have a tonic water with lemon. That's my go-to, by the way, when I go out. Tonic water with lemon. We could have tonic water with lemon and joke around about how bad things went with the Dolphins when he was the head coach, because I think he's on his way out. Hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong for number one, for you loyal Miami Dolphin fans down here, because I'll tell you what, there are some big diehard Dolphin fans in the area, Dame.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's rich in history. This is a team that has, in my opinion, one of the best teams ever. Do you want to know who I think the best team ever, quickly on this, do you want to know who I think the best team ever is in NFL history?
The Dolphins, undefeated season.
The Patriots team that lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl in 07.
That's ironic.
That was the best, Damian Perez. That's the best NFL team in the history of the game, and I cannot believe they lost that game.
And it took Eli Manning to take him down.
Dude, Brandon Jacobs, the one-yard run heard around the world. I mean,
was it Hicks who had the
no,
catch?
No, David Tyree.
Tyree, that's what it was.
I think you're thinking of Hakeem Nicks.
Yes, yeah, Hakeem Nicks. That's
Hakeem Nicks. By the way, I remember watching Hakeem Nicks at North Carolina, wide receiver. I want to say one of the best NFL games ever, but that was a snoozer. That game was a snoozer till
the
fourth quarter.
Yes, till the end.
It was like, oh my God, are the Patriots really going to lose this? Because nobody gave the Giants a fighting chance in that game. Regardless, back to the Dolphins. They're the only team in the history of the league, the only organization in the history of the league to have an undefeated team. They need to get this team back on track. 25 years since they've won a playoff game.
Don't remind me.
Like, as a miserable Brown fan, that used to be us, Dame. Thank God for the COVID year and Baker Mayfield in 2020 when we beat the Steelers. But a team like the Dolphins, who is entrenched in history, shouldn't be this bad. It shouldn't be this bad for them. And I do feel bad for the loyal Miami Dolphin fans out there. But folks, 888-760-3776. That is the number to call on in Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez are taking you all the way up until 10 o'clock. Talking rookie quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Shuck, Jackson Dart. I think when things are all said and done, Cam Ward and Shedeur are going to be the two quarterbacks that you are going to be waxing
really,
poetically
really
about.
Quickly, I got two names that, you know, can be underdogs in this rookie quarterback landscape, and that's Jalen Milroe and Will Howard. I think they're in situations where there's no pressure for them to start right away and get it right away. They got time to learn behind a savvy vet like Darnold and Aaron Rodgers, of course. So those are two names that, from what we saw in college, what they can bring to the table. Will Howard with his ultimate competitiveness, and then Jalen Milroe with his dual threat ability. I think there's two players that can develop to be good quarterbacks in the future of the NFL.
Jalen Milroe, who got some time for the Seattle Seahawks in preseason game number one, where the Seahawks ended up tying the Las Vegas Raiders. And then obviously Will Howard. I think Howard, Dame, is dealing with the thumb injury. I think he actually got hurt in practice. But Will Howard, all right, can I be Buckeye honk for 2 seconds? You're talking about a guy who started the national championship game 13 of 13.
It's a record.
He broke a record in the game, 13-13.
I don't say this for his ability to play football, but I see some Tom Brady-esque when it comes to his personality and how he carries himself and how fiery he is and how he can get people going. That's something I see in Will Howard.
It's a national championship quarterback too, Dame. So you know he could, what's the famous saying? You know he's a leader of men. You know he could get it done when times are tough.
He's been there.
I wonder if he could do it against NFL competition. We'll have to see.
And he's in a great organization, too. You know, the Steelers know how to develop players.
Let's give him a chance. Folks, I mentioned Hard Rock Bet. Once again, download that app. You got football season coming up. It's baseball season right now. You got the Fall Classic coming up, too, in October, end of September. MLB playoffs, one of the more fun times to watch baseball. And 13 days from college football, 25 days from the start of the NFL season. Download the Hard Rock Bet app. Get involved on the action now. You can get some bonus bet actions, too. If you're a new gambler, you get some money back if you download the app today. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That's 1-888-ADMIT-IT. And you could bet on preseason games as well. You know, I had the Browns +5.5 last night. Dame, you want to know what we call that?
That's a great bet.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. +5.5? You're telling me that Panther team is going to win by a touchdown against Shedeur Sanders? No chance, my friend. But more preseason action coming up this week. You got Giants and Bills, Texans and Vikings, Cowboys and Rams, Steelers and Jags, Titans and Buccaneers, Jets and Packers, Chiefs and Cardinals, and Broncos and 49ers. You could get in on the action. You could gamble on the action with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. You could download the app on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, wherever you get your apps. That is Hard Rock Bet. When we return, we'll talk a little bit more about those preseason games. A couple of storylines heading into those games, who's playing, who is not. We'll touch a little bit on the college football end as well. You're listening to Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, I got your holiday plans. The 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl happening Saturday, December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. It's right during the holiday season. I mean, folks, what's better than spending your time in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida during the holidays? I mean, Dame, I'm one of those suckers that has to go home during the holiday season. But this year, I will be down here December 23rd for the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl. You can follow on Twitter at Boca Bowl. It's that simple, at Boca Bowl, for all of the latest updates. You go on the website. Keep up to date on the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl happening at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Our whole team as a staff will be there. We want to see you there at the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl game coming up December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, live at the City Place Studios here in downtown West Palm Beach. Shedeur Sanders with a big game last night. Two touchdown passes, 130 yards passing. And Damian, let's take a listen to the second and final touchdown pass that Shedeur Sanders threaded the needle on.
Lonnie Marshall back in the game, does a nice job picking up the blitz. Sanders throws, touchdown, Davis again. Two touchdown drives, both going to Caden Davis, and the Browns have their first lead of the preseason.
Okay. So Shedeur Sanders looking pretty good. I gotta say, he looks like a starter in the league. He looks like a rookie, right? Number one, he looks like a rookie. Missed some throws last night. It's going to happen in your first ever start in the National Football League. Nerves, whatever. Number two, I think it looks like he could be a starter in the league. I do. I think Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are probably going to be the two quarterbacks you're writing home coming out of the 2025 quarterback class. Jackson Dart, Tyler Shook, Damian brought up Jalen Milroe, Will Howard. But I think when this thing's all said and done, it's probably going to be Cam Ward and Shedeur. I probably would put Cam Ward a little ahead of my guy Shedeur, just because the number one pick, he's getting those opportunities too. He's going to be able to
better roster too.
We both agree that Cam Ward is going to be the full-time starter this year, barring injury.
Oh, 100%.
So
100%.
I think because of that, Cam is going to be ahead of Shedeur, because I think Joe Flacco will start the year for the Browns. I think Kenny Pickett will be the backup. Dylan Gabriel third, and then Shedeur probably fourth. I don't think it's fair. I don't want to rain. And how about that? We brought up all those rookies. We didn't bring up the guy that was selected before Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. Dame, he's not an NFL quarterback.
How do you feel if you're Dylan Gabriel, though? Because you got drafted before Shedeur, but everything that's talked about is...
He's ahead of him on the depth chart, though.
But everything that's talked about is, how long is that going to take to change? Nobody thinks that Dylan Gabriel going into next
season myself.
Is going to be ahead of Shedeur Sanders in that depth chart. So being Dylan Gabriel, do you have a chip on your shoulder? Like, does that affect your play? Does that affect your future in the NFL? How do you think Dylan Gabriel feels?
My dad, my brother, and I have a rule, being diehard Browns fans. We want what's best for the team. If Dylan Gabriel's best for the team, if he's the best quarterback, fair play. We're going to root for Dylan Gabriel. If Joe Flacco is the best quarterback in the room, we're going to root for Joe Flacco. My personal opinion is, I don't think Dylan Gabriel's an NFL quarterback. I don't know. I think he was a great college quarterback, reminiscent, spent 5 years, Oklahoma, Oregon, had a great senior season until they ran into who in the Rose Bowl, Dame?
Was it Ohio?
Oh, hang on. The Ohio State University. But I don't, I like, if anyone wants to go to bat for Dylan Gabriel, 888-760-3776 is the Baptist Health Hotline here on Saturday tailgate with Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez. I was scratching my head when they made the pick in the third round. It seems to me, Damian, that this, you know, the GM of the Cleveland Browns is a bit of a stat geek, analytics geek in Andrew Berry. I think it shows too, because in 2020, Damian drafted about 17 players. None of them are on the roster. None of them got second contracts. It's a little jab at AB. I hope he's the GM of the future, but I'm going to be critical. I don't know. It seemed like a pick that screamed to me, hey, this is more of an analytical pick than him looking the part of an NFL quarterback. It's too, like, I hate saying this because guys like Baker Mayfield and Drew Brees are great in the league. Drew Brees, Super Bowl winner. Baker Mayfield proving everybody wrong and being a Pro Bowl quarterback, a quarterback who won a playoff game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's time to put some respect on Baker, including myself, who is very critical of Baker during his time in Cleveland.
Former Cleveland Brown.
But Gabriel, I think, is too small, Dave.
Yeah.
I, like I said, I hate using that, folks. I don't throw that around a lot, but I think he's too small.
No, it's fair. It's
I do. I think he's too small to play in the National Football League. I'd rather have a 6'4 Shedeur Sanders.
And I feel like Baker Mayfield and Drew Brees, yes, they were short, but they had more of a stocky build, whereas Dylan Gabriel is a bit, you know, skinnier or thinner compared to them, on top of that being shorter on average for a quarterback.
So, Dame, Cam Ward going to be the starter coming up tonight. It's preseason game one for the Titans. It's Titans and Bucks. That one's 7:30 at Raymond James Stadium. The Titans are 3.5-point favorites with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. I might be sprinkling a little action on Cam Ward.
Love it. I love it. I think that's a, you said 3.5 favorites tonight.
Yep.
And then 5.5 win total this season.
So let's put together our parlay of the weekend, Damian, with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. We will take that bet right there. So preseason game number one for the Tennessee Titans. They are a 3.5-point favorite. We will go with them. I'm going to go and ride the hot hand, which I do. I mean, we haven't seen them play yet. But from everything I've been seeing in training camp, I'm going to go with the hot hand of Cam Ward. You said Jackson Dart's going to play too, Dane?
Yes, Jackson Dart is starting. So is Travis Hunter, if you wanted to look at the Jaguars. And Travis Hunter's playing both cornerback and wide receiver tonight.
They're -4.5 at home against Pittsburgh. Do we like that? No Will Howard for Pittsburgh? I don't even know. Aaron Rodgers probably won't. What's this?
The thing with that line, I like 4.5, but when we're talking about preseason, the starters might get the first quarter. So what about if we take just the first half for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm fine with taking the whole game.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do 4.5 with the Jags. I think Travis Hunter probably play the whole first half, and then we're going to be watching some, you know, garbage time at the end. So we got two bets there. Do you want to go Giant? You want to go with the theme of rookies, Giants +2.5?
Yeah, why not?
So, you know, Giants, Josh Allen might play a series.
And I believe in the Hard Knocks curse. I think when a team is on Hard Knocks, they don't do that well the next coming season. There's a track record there.
I got to be honest, Damian. I can't stand Hard Knocks. Do you want to know why, Dame? You want to know why? No, I was covering the Cleveland Browns.
They had one of the best Hard Knocks, though, in my opinion.
The Browns?
Yes.
So, Dame, I covered that team. And I was at training camp every single day while Hard Knocks was there. I was done with it.
Behind the scenes is probably really
annoying. It's not even that. Coaches hate it.
Yeah.
It's so bad for the coaching staff. I think it's such a distraction for the players.
And I think it kind of gives away the tactics to a certain degree.
I understand that fans want it. I'm in the minority on this. Fans love Hard Knocks. They do. Theo, Christian, Colin, they all love it. All the other hosts love it. My team was on there. My team did terrible that year when they were on there. And I just never again. Never again.
The Dolphins, same thing. They were on Hard Knocks. That same season was probably the worst in the Mike McDaniels era.
Stay away.
Yep.
So you want to know what I tell Hard Knocks? My football teams, stay away. Never again. I never again to Hard Knocks. Never again it.
And then last year was the Chicago Bears.
Oh, God, how'd that work out? How'd that work out?
Telling you, there's a
curse
there.
Eberflus got fired midseason. Shane Waldron didn't even make it. Shane Waldron, offensive coordinator, by the way, got hired that same year, got fired that same year, didn't even make it to the final year. But our parlay, folks, of the weekend, Titans -3.5, Jags -4.5, and the Giants +2.5. That's 20 to win 145 with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Dame, what are you going to do for the couple hours you got off here until we got top 63 duties?
Honestly, it's a rainy day here in South Florida in West Palm Beach, so I'm probably going to be that loser that watches every snap of the preseason games.
I love, dude, I am stealing that from Zaslo. I am stealing that from Zaz. Damien, I laughed. You were my producer yesterday, so you saw. I laughed so hard. To the point where I put it in the group text. I go, boys, who's going to be a loser with me tonight and watch every single snap?
Me.
Of a preseason game. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch up with you guys on Monday with Russo and Rizzo, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday huddle will be tomorrow. Cade Chumslin and the great Colin Russo. And then Damien and I will be back in here for Inter-Miami coverage against Orlando City. The Herons at Orlando. I will start the pregame coverage on the English side at 7:30. Damien will start the Spanish coverage coming up at 7 o'clock on 760 ESPN Deportes.
That is right. We're back to the MLS.
Back to the MLS after a break to the leagues from the League's Cup. We'll catch up with you guys, as I said, Sunday and Monday. Everyone have a great day. Bye.